Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. Time to talk some NFL headlines with John McClain of the Houston Chronicle, who joins us now, joins us twice a week here on 104.5 The Zone. John, you just heard from John Glennon, who still uses a tape recorder. When's the last time you used one?
Well, I use a tape recorder on my cell phone, but I record everything on my cell phone.
He uses tape.
Tape.
He flips the tape.
Does he know you can download one a bunch on your cell phone?
Oh, he knows.
One-stop shopping. By the way, Paul, I think you should have me do a guest column for PaulKaharsky.com on why I think Mike Vrabel will be a success.
I accept if I can afford you.
You buy me a beer sometime.
There you go.
Sold. Johnny, take a lesson from John McClain.
In fact, Paul, when we do our fundraiser this summer for Animal Rescue, you can buy me a beer at the fundraiser.
Excellent. All right, we got a deal.
Of course, it's all free.
Yeah, they're free.
He can help promote the event on his website. How about that?
Holly Warlick is getting charity from UT, and I'm getting charity from John McClain.
I'm not going to offer to write a guest column for utsports.com on why the Holly Warlick extension is a mistake. I offer up my services.
John McClain joins us. You can join him. 615-737-1045, our number. John, I just want to get your thoughts. Steve Watterson, at the end of last week, announced his retirement from the organization. What are a couple of stories that come to mind when you think of him?
When I saw that about Steve, there was more than a couple. I thought of like 100 because Steve was such a character. And I remember when he was hired in 86, he came to Houston with a Rhode Island accent that he lost through the years and worked for Jerry Glanville. And right away, he was a character. And I remember some of the pranks he pulled off here on Thanksgiving that not only fooled rookies with turkeys, but fooled veterans, fooled their head coach, Jack Pardee, because they were so elaborate. I remember one time, I believe, that they pulled a prank on him when he got to work one day. Everything in his office was gone. I mean, everything. And two other coaches, led by Chris Palmer, had taken it. Think about how much trouble you go to and to take out and hide it. And then I remember they had that game you play on your birthday that you cannot avoid getting pied, a pie in the face on your birthday. You can do everything you can to avoid it. And Mike Munchak had been out with his wife, Marcy, on their birthday. And so far, they had avoided getting pied. And so they're going into their house, and right before midnight, when they're going into the door, out of the bushes comes Steve Watterson with a pie and hits him in the face with a pie. And Watterson didn't know when he was coming back, but laid in wait in the bushes. He had bugs on him, and he was not only a character, but Steve was as good as there was at what he's done. I know to stay with the Oilers/Titans, mainly the Titans, he's turned down other offers to stay there. And I think he's the most senior coach in the NFL, isn't he?
He was the longest tenured coach with one team in the NFL at 32 years.
Well, I can't tell you. I could sit there and tell you. I mean, literally, things flash back in my mind about him, and I wish him the very best because he was or is the very best.
I think we've got a good chance, by the way, of after things calm down and the Titans have moved on, that Steve will join us for one of those magical hours where we do some serious storytelling. So
if you do that, please call me so I can call in because I can think now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, I think of even more. And the best, some of the best ones are ones I can't tell on the air. But Steve came for years to the Charles Davis dinners that I did with Jeff Fisher for the Charles Davis Foundation. And Steve told it during those dinners some incredible stories. But I wish him the very best. He's one of my all-time favorite coaches.
Phone lines are open. If you've got a football question for John McClain, we can take it right now. 615-737-1045. 737-1045.
John, who do you have the Titans selecting 25th overall in this draft?
In my seventh mock draft, I have them taking Boise State outside linebacker Leighton Vander Esch. I've had them taking everybody from Harold Landry to, from Boston College, they got Sam Hubbard from Ohio State, but I have them taking a pass rusher in every first round.
Paul, you've written quite a bit. Well, quite a bit. I noticed one long column on Hubbard in particular.
And Hubbard, the big downside to Hubbard is kind of short area quickness. And at the combine, he crushed it in the three cone drill, which is short area quickness. So he really said he focused on addressing that and felt he did addressed it as well as possible. I think he's definitely an intriguing guy and another Vrabel-ish type of guy.
What are you hearing, John, on Vander Esch?
That he's going to be a first-round pick somewhere in the bottom of, and he's going to play outside linebacker.
You said outside. I'm a little surprised by that because he's been cast by a lot of people as inside. What do you know about?
Inside in a 3-4, but they think of him as a pass rusher. He works really hard. His stock, and I don't know if it's because he played at Boise State or what, but I'd never paid any attention to him until it got after the season, and people just kept saying nicer things about him, and he's definitely going to a 3-4 team.
I like it a lot. I like him, and I like Evans. As if they wound up with one of those
Sean
two
Evans,
guys, I'd be pleased.
I think they're all rated fairly closely on a lot of these mocks, too, on the same area of this draft. 615-737-1045. Go ahead, John.
If you want a guy like that, in the last 10 picks of the first round, there's a lot of possibilities because there's a lot that aren't high picks, but there's a crowd down there. You just got to find the right one. And one thing about Hubbard, and Mike Vrabel went to Ohio State. He coached at Ohio State. He loves Ohio State. He would probably tell you over beers that they do as good a job as any, coaching them up, putting them out, putting out the kind of prospects you can count on right away. Not all of them, but most of them. And so that's one reason I'm thinking, besides Hubbard being his type of guy, that he would be a possibility. But Hubbard is not rated as high as Harold Landry or Leighton Vander Esch. But you never know what John Robinson has on his draft board.
John, let's go around the AFC South with your mock. Who do you have the Colts selecting at six?
Oh, gosh. I think, of course you asked me that, and I can't remember. I turned that thing in last week. I think I have Bradley Chubb because I have the Giants taking a quarterback. And I think that's I don't think the Giants – I just don't understand how the Giants could pass up a quarterback, considering Eli Manning's 37 years old, hasn't played that well. It just seems like a natural thing for them to do. And I don't know if they will, but, man, that would certainly change everything. They could trade it to the Bills and get two ones and maybe a two. And if, I think if Buffalo traded up there, he's going to take a strong-arm guy like Josh Allen, but I think the Giants hold the key to the draft, and I think because of that, I had Chubb going Indy, but now that I've stalled enough, I can tell you exactly who I have. Yes, Bradley Chubb.
Hey, report yesterday out that the Giants like Sam Darnold, but they don't like Josh Rosen. Likelihood that that's posturing either by them or by the Browns to try to make something happen at the top there? Or conceivably true and leaking out?
I don't believe anything I hear at this time about anonymous reports, knowing how teams work so hard to get misinformation out there. And I just don't buy it at all.
I don't buy it because I don't think the Giants even meet with Josh Rosen until tomorrow. He's in Buffalo today. He's got a busy week. He's in Buffalo today. Then he's with the Giants, the Jets, and the Cardinals, all back to back to back.
You know, those guys will be glad when it's over.
Yeah.
And they don't have to fly all over the country as answering the same questions over and over, working out. Jacksonville, I pick because they spent that money on Andrew Norwell, the left guard. I have them taking James Daniels, who can play center or guard, because the only thing they lack is they need to protect Blake Bortles better since they've invested in him in the short term. So I have them taking James Daniels from Iowa.
John, going back to the Colts briefly, they could control this draft. I mean, they already have quite a bit of picks, but if the Browns decide to stay at four and go with Barkley or Chubb, whoever's available there, and everyone I've noticed lately has Nelson to the Broncos at five, the Colts would be the next team available. And you mentioned Buffalo wanting to trade up to get their quarterback. The Colts would be in control of the draft at that point. They would be the most likely team willing to move back for a team that's maybe like Buffalo chasing a Baker Mayfield type of QB. Do you see the Colts doing that?
No, because I have the top four quarterbacks going in the top five picks. The only one not a quarterback is I've stuck with Saquon Barkley. Cleveland at four because he's the best prospect in the draft. The second best prospect in the draft is Quentin Nelson, the guard from Notre Dame. And I know some of the Cleveland media is trying to say because John Dorsey came from Green Bay, who worked for Ted Thompson, who worked for Ron Wolf, and Ron Wolf's philosophy, never take a running back high. So Ted Thompson's philosophy, never take a running back high. So that's got to be what John Dorsey thinks. And I told him, you guys are really stretching. When you think if they take a quarterback number one, who can help a quarterback the best? A running back. Now, unless they want to come back and draft Quentin Nelson, but they got a good offensive line. I don't know who – I know they signed a couple of guys, but nobody they're getting is going to play left tackle as well as Joe Thomas, and there's no left tackle worth that pick. Say they like Connor Williams and Mike McGlinchey equally. Well, they could trade down a couple of times from that pick and be able to get one of them. But I think that Dorsey is smart. He's got a good staff with Elliott Wolf and Alonzo Highsmith, and somehow Scott McLuhan has some kind of influence. Don't know if it's a consultant or if he's been hired, but those guys are proven, and I just don't see them passing up the best player in the draft if they've got a chance to get him at number four.
What do you think is in store in Dallas? We know Jerry goes big, and we know this is going to be a different draft in that team headquarters isn't right in the middle of a neighborhood, kind of the way Philly's thing was last year. But Philly got rave reviews. And you know Jerry's inclination after Philly won the Super Bowl is going to be to top Philly. What do you imagine is in store for what we see on TV and in Arlington?
I have gone back and forth between defensive linemen like Vita Vey, and is it V or Vey? I can't remember how to pronounce it. He's one of the top defensive linemen. But they've got Dez Bryant, who hadn't had a good season since he signed his big contract, and does not have a good rapport with Dak Prescott on the field. And there's all this talk about him being forced to take a pay cut, which he says he won't do. And then they got Terrence Williams, the other starting receiver, coming off foot surgery, and he's probably not going to be ready to training camp, and he's still not a burner. And then they got Cole Beasley in the slot. They need an infusion of speed at wide receiver. So I've had them taking Christian Kirk, the last one DJ Moore, had him taking defensive lineman. I've not had them taking any position other than defensive line and wide receiver. Today, wide receivers are so iffy in the first round that I'm thinking more and more they want to fortify their defense.
How about in the logistics of the actual draft being held there? What are you expecting?
Well, of course, the biggest, the loudest, the best. They say every team's going to have its own section because they have the space to do it. I believe in the first 24 hours or 48 hours, they had more than 100,000 requests for tickets. And I think Jerry Jones, even the commercials that are running on the NFL Network, the Dallas theme song from the TV show, and all the ads about who's going to be at the draft, the same way they used to show Larry Hagman and Patrick Duffy and Linda Gray and Victoria Principal. It's pretty ingenious, but I would imagine a lot of people around the country are going to be so sick of hearing about what a great draft it is because of Jerry Jones in AT&T Stadium. They're going to get real tired of it. I know we'll get real tired of it down here in Houston fast.
John, if I'm just thinking Cowboys needs, you mentioned wide receiver with Dez Bryant. They certainly need to bolster that receiving core. Shouldn't they go inside linebacker and bolster that linebacking core with Sean Lee and his departure? And then you have Jalen Smith and his uncertainty at that spot.
Anthony Hutchins left.
Yes.
Signed somewhere else in free agency. Maybe they will. I'm not sure. It just depends on how high the player is rated, but they need defense, and maybe it will be a linebacker. There's a lot of good linebackers in this draft, not great ones, but good ones. We talked about some with the Texans. They run a 4-3. So if they take an inside linebacker, he's got to be able to tackle a machine. If they take an outside linebacker, since they don't rush, he's going to have to be able to run in covers. So most of those outside linebackers who we've talked about as being good are guys that can rush the passer. So it's kind of iffy when you are taking an outside linebacker. It's easier to see him as a pass rusher than it is dropping into coverage.
Who do you have Jacksonville going with? You remember if it's a wide receiver or possibly a tight end?
He had James offensive Daniels, lineman before, yeah.
James Daniels from Iowa, center and guard.
So going interior offensive line. Right tackle is also a position of need for Jacksonville there.
I don't think there's going to be anybody can play right tackle. I think the top guys, Mike McGlinchey and Connor Williams, will be gone. I don't think there'll be another offensive tackle taken in the first round. Then there'll be a run on them in the second, third, and fourth.
I understand the lack of certainty about Andrew Luck. What concerns me is the failure to consistently deliver the same message from the Colts franchise. And we were talking about this earlier, and I know they're making a change in the PR department. But what's your sense of why they haven't been able to be on the same page in presenting where he is and their expectation for him?
Well, obviously they don't know, and they haven't put their heads together. You know, when Jim Irsay tweeted last year that he would be ready for offseason or camp, whatever it was, that wasn't even close. And then when Andrew came back and he started throwing, according to what he said yesterday, he came back too soon, tried to rush it. This time he's not doing it. He's hoping to be ready for there for camp. And I think the fact that Andrew has been gone, he's been working out in California. They don't have somebody with him. You know, they're checking in, but I think that's why it is that they need to get on the same page. And they have ran off a good PR guy in Avis Roper, who come from the Giants. Don't even know who they hired last year, but they do need to get on the same page. You guys didn't ask me about the Texans picks. I have to pick three of them every week in my mock draft, and then they have three picks in the third round. First one is fourth in the third round, and every one of them I've had them taking a left tackle.
Is the mood in Houston that, hey, we'll sit back and enjoy the idea of Deshaun Watson a little bit more while we watch things go past, or it's hard not to want your team to have a first-round pick no matter what you got in exchange for it?
Now, nobody's talking about it because they know the first pick was Watson. I tell them, like, the second pick, they traded Osweiler and a number two to Cleveland to pick up an extra $10 million in cap space. Look at it like it's the Honey Badger, $7 million cap figure. And so they're just looking at it like it's Watson and Matthew, who are 22 and 25 years old. So people, it is strange. It may get to be more, but I think people are so knowledgeable about it, they understand it, Nobody, I don't hear anybody complain. Somebody asked me on a show that I did in Cleveland last week if they're having any second thoughts. And before I could answer, the other host go, "Are you kidding? Why would you ask him a stupid question like that?" And I just said, no, no second thoughts.
To the phones, we say hello to Cody. First up today for John McClain. Hey, Cody.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
Great.
Couple questions. What do you feel like the Titans organization's expectations are of the team and of Mike Vrabel? And do you look for Malcolm Butler to make an immediate impact on the defense? I'm going to stay on the line and listen because I'm not near my radio.
I look for Malcolm Butler. You to get the very best from Malcolm Butler because he's going to prove that he got screwed at the Super Bowl. I think most of us believe that he did. It was a terrible personnel decision by Bill Belichick, and I believe the Titans will get the best out of him. I like the moves they've made. You know, they're thinking, I'll guarantee you, they're thinking, okay, we got to get to the playoffs. You know, you want to win your division first and foremost. They finish the game out. So their goal is to get in the playoffs, maybe get in the playoffs, and then you see what happened last year, winning in Kansas City, Jacksonville, winning in Pittsburgh, and then your next goal is to get to the Super Bowl.
Well, looking at expectation for the Titans, John, it's hard to say, you know, a win total right now. We're not even through the draft yet, but what is realistic coming off a team that won a playoff game this last year, but playing in a division where everyone's also going to get better also, or at least stay the same?
If all those quarterbacks stay healthy, and that's a big if, only Bortles stayed healthy and they won the division. But if all of them do, it's going to be better. It's going to be more competitive, more exciting. And I would think going in, you know, they'll never say this, but if they win 10 games, that'd be good. If you win 11, that'd win the division probably. And the key is, what do you do in the playoffs?
Go next to Tom for John McClain. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Great.
I just wanted to know what John thought that where Tennessee State alum Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie would end up.
I think he'll end up with maybe a little more than the minimum, probably going to a team that has a chance for the playoffs or the Super Bowl at this point of his career.
You know, and the big question with him is, what position does he end up playing? Because the Giants wanted to, they were discussing switching him to safety. Now, he was due $6.5 million, and before they decided to cut him, they discussed swapping positions for him and then decided, well, we'll just save the cap space.
I often wonder, a lot of corners just don't want to be safeties, which is foolish later in your career. Rod Woodson, a great example. Moved to free safety, was really good, helped the Steelers, and ended up in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. If you're a corner and you're hitting 30 and they want you to move to safety, I certainly wouldn't fight it because it can prolong your career.
Yeah, that, put pride aside, run there. It's still a starting spot on a defense where you could be of great influence.
And he has strong enough resume to do it, to make the switch. You know, most recently it was Malcolm Jenkins did it. He made the switch.
He's been very, very good at it, too.
Been very good.
He's younger.
For him and for them. Everybody's
And won. Jenkins didn't do it because he hit 30. He did it before he hit 30. Yeah. It turned out he was just as good or better as a safety than he was as a corner.
Bert is our final caller for John McClain. Hey, Bert.
Hello, John.
Hello, Bert.
John, my question for you is, how did Conrad Doebler get his reputation as such a dirty player when you have players like Joe Green? He's called Mean Joe Green. You had Mike Curtis, the Animal. Jack Tatum, who paralyzed Daryl Stingley. How did Doebler get such a infamous moniker?
I'll give you an answer. I'll give you just one answer. Bob Young, who started at guard opposite Conrad Doebler for the Cardinals for years, Bob was a good friend of mine. He played 17 years, ended his career with the Oilers, and then was offensive line coach. He and I used to play a lot of golf. He was really good friends with Deardorff, who played left tackle. And anyway, Bob died of a heart attack, and I was a pallbearer at two services, and I got to spend a lot of time with those guys. And here's what I never heard Jack Tatum or any of those guys you mentioned doing. And his own teammates told stories how dirty Conrad was. If there was a fumble and there was a scrum in which everybody was going for the ball, Conrad would do things in that scrum to try to get the guy to cough it up. And what he would do, he would feel around till he could squeeze his footballs. But sometimes he was squeezing his teammates, and they're screaming at him. Goldberg, you know, just cussing like crazy. That's me. That's me. And he'd apologize.
Wrong team. Wrong player.
He was not prejudiced based on what uniform you were wearing.
Kind of their own version of Deflategate.
Well played, sir.
Yeah. A lot of euphemisms flying.
John, thank you as always, and we will catch up with you on Friday.
Hey, guys, thank you very much as always. I look forward to talking to you Friday.
John McClain with us twice a week.
I'll text you shortly about the column. I'll text you shortly.